Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject: Aqaid, Islamic Beliefs. Teacher: Sayyid Ibn Abbas Naqwi. Lesson number 2.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. So friends, in today's lesson we're going to be discussing two clear ways of knowing God. We're going to be discussing two ways by which, that means by their means, it will be really easy for us to know God, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of them is an inward way, and this is the closest way. And the second one is an outward way, and this is the clearest way. So the first one, in which we do not want to do anything except looking into ourselves. We need to ponder upon ourselves, ponder upon our habits, our nature. How do we react when we face different circumstances in life, when we face different situations in our life? How do we react? What are our habits? What are our customs? So in the first way, which is the inward way, we need to ponder upon ourselves. And we're going to be, and it will be easy for us to know God. And because we need to ponder upon ourselves and we do not need to go anywhere outside, that's why we say it is the inward way and the closest way. Because we need not go somewhere else. No, we're just here sitting and it will be easy for us to know God. So that's why we call it the closest way. And the second way, we will be exploring the world around us. Different signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different signs of God, even in the heart of an atom. We're going to be going through these signs and finding the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in while we explore the world around us. So obviously, its explanation, it cannot be carried out in a few lessons, but we're going to be discussing them briefly. Now, when we talk about the inward way, today we're going to be discussing the inward way completely, which is the closest way. When we say regarding this, scholars say that if someone is born and he is left alone, without anyone, without his mother, without his father, without him interacting with the environment, he living all alone, without any kind of training, no teaching, no tuitions, nothing. This person, when he grows up, obviously, he will be having those three questions in mind which we discussed in the previous lesson: where he is from, why is he here, and where is he going to? Alright, where he's going. So these three questions, along with these questions, there will be in his soul, in his spirit, he will be looking for a force, for something that is supernatural, that is above these natural things that we are seeing by our eyes and hearing by our ears. That means apart from these things, he will be looking for a supernatural force, a force that rules the world. He will be looking for such a force. That's what the scholars say, that if a person is left alone, alone with himself, no one around him, no food, that means he himself arranged for his food and all that stuff. For example, he will be living in a jungle. Alright, so this person will go after a supernatural force, a force that rules the world automatically. right? He will hear in the corners of his heart a kind and at the same time a clear and a firm voice of Tawheed, of monotheism. It means he will be called from inside to know God. And he will go after it. Because such a person, without coming in contact, without interacting with the environment, this is how the person will react. This is what is known as fitrah. Fitrah, that is the pure, the divine, God-knowing nature. This is that God-knowing nature of human beings. And this is known as fitrah. Fitrah, that is the nature, the pure nature. Without the pure nature, without coming in contact with the worldly pleasures and this worldly life and all that stuff and these worldly duties. So this is known as fitrah, which is inside all of us. But it's possible that he might get busy in his day-to-day life, busy with his worldly activities, gets busy with his life, with his duties, and with the attractions of this world and other different things. He might get busy with these things, but whenever he faces difficulty, whenever this person who was busy till now, whenever he faces any kind of difficulty, or he faces any kind of problems in his life, or he sees a natural disaster, he meets with an accident, or he sees a natural disaster, an earthquake or a hurricane, he will quit all these worldly pleasures. Whatever the pleasure may be, whatever the attraction may be, he'll quit all of them, and he will go in search of a refuge. He knows from inside. From inside, he knows that there is a force, and it's possible for that force to give me a refuge, to save this difficulty, to save me from this problem or this natural disaster, this earthquake. You might have seen, whenever there's an earthquake or a hurricane, normally people, they don't want to look what amount of money is there in their houses, or they don't look for their property papers, neither for their kids sometimes. Even they forget their kids. And they simply just, what they want to do is they want to save their own life. All right, they forget everything. Now, this is when a person, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because till now, he was busy with these worldly pleasures, with his day-to-day life, with his worldly life and its attractions and all that. Till now, it was busy. But once he was curtailed with this life, that means there was a small doubt that I might be curtailed with this worldly pleasures and all, just because of that small doubt, he turned to a force that was above all these things. Now, even if he might not call that force a God, but he is looking for something. He is looking for something like that. That's what we want to say. This is what is fitrah. This is that pure nature of human beings. Because all of us, we look for a greater force, and we believe from within that there is someone who can help us out in this situation. Similarly, when we turn to history and we see the history of the powerful rulers, when they used to rule the world, all right, when they had a huge empire and their rule was calm, there was no problem with it, they didn't even use to mention the name of God. But whenever they saw any problem regarding their empire, regarding their rule, or whenever they were about to face death, they came to remember. They came to remember that forgotten, that means that forgotten thing, that forgotten compound of their fitrah. That was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Fir'aun. You take the example of Fir'aun. What did he used to say? While he used to rule the world, what did he say? Ana rabbukum al-a'la. That's what the Quran says. Ana rabbukum al-a'la. That means I am your Lord. I am your God. Right? Ana rabbukum al-a'la. And then when Fir'aun, he was drowning in the waves of the ocean or in the waves of the sea, what did he say? He said, I confess that there is no God but the God of Moses, except the God of Musa, salamullahi alayh. That means when he was about to die, he was about to quit these worldly pleasures and this materialistic life, that was the time when he realized and when he listened to the sound of his inner soul that we call fitrah. The same inward, the inward call. That was the time when he realized this. And similarly, when we face these difficulties and these problems and we do not, and the usual ways of solving out this problem, they do not work, we look towards those things, towards those forces that are able, we from within we know that there is someone who can solve this problem out for us. Alright, we know it from within. And that's the time when our heart, it fills with hope. And we look for someone who can do it. And that's the way, and that's the time when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we try to seek His help. And we ask Him to help us. Alright, so hence, here is when we hear the voice of Tawheed, the voice of monotheism from within our souls, and naturally we begin to think about God. That's the time. This is the call of fitrah. And this has been something that existed in all nations, in all, during all the ages, at all times. Alright? This was present. It's not that it came into existence, this kind of a custom or this kind of activity, it came into existence 100 years back. No. But the case of Fir'aun, it was thousands of years ago. Alright? But even at that point of time, we had this. That whenever we used to face any difficulty, whenever we used to face these problems, and whenever this world, it turned away from us, that was the time when we realized that there is someone who can help us out. So this custom or this habit, whatever you call it, it remained, it was there in all times, in all ages, during all these ages, and in every nation. Now from this thing, we can derive a conclusion. And the conclusion is that this thing is present in our nature. It's inbuilt. It's something inbuilt within ourselves. It's not like our usual habits, like one eating with his right hand and the other one eating with his left hand. You ask him, why do you eat with your right? He says, it's my habit. And the same is the answer of the one who's eating with his left hand. He says, it's my habit. Or, it's not out of any customs. That means, because in different tribes, in different nations, we've got different customs. But this thing, we cannot call it a custom. That whenever we face a problem, whenever this world, it turns away from us, we look for someone known as God. This cannot be called as a custom. Why? Because this was present in all nations during all the ages at all times. So that's why we we can derive a conclusion that its roots are present in ourselves, deep inside our souls. Its roots are present. And because of that inbuilt function, when we turn away, because sometimes the world, this world, it turns away from us, the way it was with Fir'aun. And sometimes people, they turn away from the world. When they turn their faces away from the world, they realize or they recognize that supernatural force or that power that rules the world, which we call God. Right? So, from this, the conclusion that we took, that this is present within our souls, within our spirit. It's something woven into the soul of human beings, right? And it's now take the example of love of a mother for her child. Can we say that this mother, she loves a mother, any mother, she loves her child because of her habit? It's her habit to love her child. Can we say that? No. Can we say that in all nations there is a custom that mothers, they love their child? No, it's not out of any custom. Neither it is out of any habit. Neither it's the duty of a mother to love her child. It's not her duty. Then why does she love her child? She loves her child because this is something inbuilt. This is something in her fitrah. This is something in her nature. And you might have seen mothers going against this. You might have seen, you might have heard different cases and stories where mothers, they kill their child, right? Now this is when this mother, she gets involved in some other activities that cover her fitrah with a barrier. That means that that creates a barrier between her fitrah, that means between her loving her, between this mother loving her child and the thing that she committed, killing her child. So mothers often, they harm their child or they kill their child. You might have heard such kind of stories. But this is, what do we say to such mothers? Are they good mothers? Are they good mothers? Does she do the right thing? Do we say this? No. Obviously, we say that what kind of a mother she is. How can she do that to her child? That's what we say. Why? Because she is acting against her fitrah. She is acting against the nature of a true mother. All right? That's why we blame a mother when she harms her child, or she tries to kill her child, or she kills her child, right? That means she's out of her senses. She is not acting according to what a mother does, right? So this is something acting, that means this mother is acting, what? She is behaving against her fitrah, against her natural nature, against her nature, and against that inbuilt motherhood, right? The same is the case with knowing God. The same is the case with knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is inbuilt, it's there in our fitrah, it's there present in our nature. Now keeping all these things in mind, all right, let's take a look at what the scholars say. The scholars, the sociologists and the historians, they say that there has been no time in history when belief and faith in God, it did not exist. That means at every time, in every time, at every stage, from the beginning till now, there is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People believe and they have faith in God. Now, we do not want to say which way is the correct one and which form is not the correct one. The main thing we want to justify is that there is a call from inside that calls us towards God. That's it. Now, how do we answer this call will be discussed later on. But what you want to say is that there is a call from inward, the closest way. There is a call. So that's the reason the sociologists and the historians, what do they say? They say that this call was present at every time. From the beginning, from this day when they started writing history, till now, people have been believing, and people, they have faith in God. From the very beginning till now, they have faith. And if we say that worshiping God and having faith in God, all right, is something that is out of customs or habits, we cannot say that. Why? Because customs and habits, they are not this much extensive, that they exist from the beginning till now. They're not eternal. You tell me a custom. Yes, there were customs, there are customs, and after 100 years, after 200 years, 300 years, what happens is that they some other custom takes their places. But regarding this thing, that people having faith in God, people worshiping God, no matter in which form they do it, but they worship God. That means they answer the inner call. Now, we're going to be discussing how they answer. Is it the correct form? Is that the correct way to answer that inner call? We're going to be discussing it in the later lessons. But what we're going to say is that they answer this call. That means they have a call from inward, from inside themselves. So you cannot say that this is a custom or this is out of habit. Why? Because it existed from the very beginning till now. In all nations, at all times, during all ages. So its roots are inside the human beings. Inside, it's woven into the spirits of human beings. So this is what the sociologists and the historians say. Now let's take a look what the psychologists say. A few of them, they say that the human soul has got four senses. The first one is a sense of knowledge, right? The sense of knowledge that makes him thirsty of knowledge, that in a way that he goes after different sciences and he goes after learning because he has a thirst of learning. He has a thirst of knowing things, right? So the first one is the sense of knowledge. The second one is the sense of goodness that is related to his moral character. And the third one is the sense of art or the sense of beauty. And the fourth one is the sense of belief. So these are the senses of a human soul. It consists of four senses. Now this sense of belief, which is the most important of these senses, it invites him to come to know God. Now what happens is, when they come to know God, sometimes they follow a good trainer, a good teacher, and sometimes they miss out. Now, when they miss out a good trainer or a good teacher who could easily preach them the easiest ways of knowing God, that's the time when they are misguided. So that's the time when they go astray. So concluding today's lesson, that the sense of knowing God has always existed. The first thing, the faith in God is eternal, is an eternal flame, and it's a flame that warms our souls. And knowing Him, knowing God, there is no need to take a long way, and turn your but what you need to do is to turn yourself inwards and look at what your souls and spirits, they say, because they have been woven into the knowledge, that means this knowledge has been woven into our souls. So that's why we said that this is the inward way of knowing God. And because it's the inward way, this is the closest way to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.